It's good to see you here. I think the choir still outnumbers the congregation by about one, and we might get a couple more folks in. I'm not sure, but it's good to have you here. I did discuss, some with a couple folks yesterday as far as, whether to cancel church or not, and I thought, well, there'll be some hardy souls that we won't be able to contact, and they'll show up and not know why we're not here. So decided that we would have worship for those that are able to get here. So I am glad that you're able to be here today and as we gather for worship. It's Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's Day to all. Also, it's the first Sunday of Lent as we begin our journey towards Easter. And so it's an important day in the life of our congregation and the life of the Christian church. Do want to invite you to stay after the service for some hot coffee, cold punch, and also some goodies. And I do apologize, it's not as warm in here as I expected either, because someone turned the heat up downstairs and turned it so it would not go off. And so it's nice and warm downstairs. Then I also have the big boiler on so that we didn't freeze pipes. So I did check the pipes. I checked the temperature upstairs this morning, and it's in the 40s, so that's good for the pipes upstairs. So anyways, it's good to have you here, and we want to encourage you to stay after the service. The back page of the bulletin has the calendar for this week, and there is a change already. Diaconate will not meet today due to the lack of deacons present, and we are postponing that meeting until the regular meeting in March, the first Sunday of March, so that the deacons are not meeting after the service today. I do want to point out that there is a service at Glen Ridge on Tuesday, and feeding ministry is on Friday, and the Board of Christian Mission is scheduled for next Sunday. Do want to let folks know that last Sunday's Super Bowl of Caring, we received $200, and that's going to Bread of Life, so thank you very much for those who were able to give in that to that as well. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the hymnal to selection number 89 for our responsive call to worship. Being reading selected verses from John's first letter, chapter 4. So let's read responsively from God's holy word. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God.
Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.
Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us.
He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us.
And sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit.
If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God.
God is love.
Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him.
Our opening hymn is Come All Christians Be Committed, number 544. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Come all Christians be committed to the service of the Lord. Love, come again to serve the and with joy his praises sing. God's command to love each other is required of everyone, showing mercy to each other mirrors his redeeming Son. In compassion he has given of his love that is divine. On the cross sins were forgiven, joy and peace are fully thine. Come in praise and adoration, all who on Christ's name believe. Worship him with consecration, grace and love will you receive. For his grace give him the glory,
for the Spirit
and the Word. And repeat the gospel story till the world his name has heard.
Let's pray together. We come into your presence, O God, as Lenten people. Some of us have come with hearts of joy, and some of us have come loaded down with heavy burdens. All of us are eager for you to reveal to us a love that hopes all things, endures all things, and never fails. Send your Spirit to be with us and bless us this morning. We ask this in the name of Jesus. We now pray as he taught, as we say aloud together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And we go into a time of sharing our celebrations and our concerns before going to prayer. We want to keep Delphine Haldane in prayer. Delphine fell down on a flight of stairs at Davenport last Monday and has been hospitalized and plans to be transferred to rehab either today or tomorrow. We want to keep her in prayer. Several bumps and bruises did break an arm. That has been set now, just waiting for it to be transferred. We want to keep Dottie Latta in prayer. Dottie is feeling much better, Dave says. Much better. Able to get out yesterday, in fact, so that's wonderful news. So we want to continue to pray for her that she will continue her recuperation from the flu. We want to keep Jackie May in prayer. Jackie's not doing very well at all, so just want to keep her and her husband Alan in prayer. Last week, we were praying for Sheila Reardon, Joy Nolak Reardon's mother-in-law, Joe's mom, had surgery this week. She had fallen and broken a vertebrae in her back. Had surgery and now is going to rehab. So I want to keep her in prayer. We want to keep the Tolstrup family in prayer. I received a call last night from Barbara that they had just received word that their son David, who lives in Florida, was found dead yesterday. So we want to keep the Tolstrup family in prayer at this time. Don't know any circumstances, but just very sudden and very shocking, obviously. So we want to keep that family in prayer today. And also for those who are suffering with bitter cold, whether they're homeless folks that are battling whether being in a shelter or trying to stay outside, but also those who have frozen pipes and cars that won't start. And I heard that somebody had a bird in their house. So, that was an animal point too. Everybody's been affected by the very cold temperatures. But it's supposed to be in the 40s or 50s by Tuesday, folks, and rain. So this too shall pass. Do you have any requests?
requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? Richard?
But I have two. One is, I think we need to pray for Doreen, as she is now the only soprano. So if anyone is interested in singing soprano, there's an NPC over here until Delphine comes back, and then you could stay afterwards. We're a real bunch of good friends, and we will welcome you with open arms. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, I have a little minor surgery scheduled on Wednesday on my hand, so okay. I should be fine. I'm not worried, but pray for my surgeon. Not so much for me.
The medical team that will be caring
right.
for you. Yeah, so I want to keep Richard in prayer. Also, Emily's still in France. So
Emily's in France until Saturday. She comes home Saturday morning.
So
I did check, I saw a video that was part of the Melrose High School opening exercises from Paris. And it really looked like they were enjoying themselves. Picture the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre Museum, and the kids. And, interesting that opportunity. I remember my own daughter Gail got those opportunities too. She went twice while in high school, once to the United Kingdom and once to Italy and Greece.
I want to keep Emily and in the group that's in the France right now. Anyone else have a prayer request? Now then, let's lift up some of these requests or something else that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together today to worship you and to spend these few moments in conversation with you. Lord, we're recognizing that there are several empty chairs here this morning and recognizing several folks who are not here. We know some because of illness and others because of the cold weather. Lord, we just pray for them today and just lift them up and just pray that they are at home and well safe. And Lord, we pray for those who have been affected by the very cold temperatures here this morning and those who may be struggling at home trying to get boilers or furnaces to work adequately, or others that, you know, are trying to unfreeze pipes and, you know, fearing floods of water in their homes. And Lord, we just, you know, pray for those. And pray especially for those who have been outside, whether they're working outside because of their job, whether because of choice or circumstance, they don't have a place to call home. We just pray, Lord, for those who, you know, have tolerated and suffered because of the cold weather outside. Lord, we pray for those who are ministering to them, who have shelters, and we are aware of those. And just pray that those who did not find a place last night, that they were safe and secure and warm and had some food to eat this morning. We're just mindful of, as we have begun this Lenten season, you know, we are preparing to, we want Easter to come so quickly, Lord. We want a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know there's a lot of work to do before we get there. Lord, today on this Valentine's Day, we think of love. And we focus not only on our love for each other, but your love for each of us. And we thank you that you loved us so much, that you sent Jesus, and Jesus loves us so much that he went to the cross and died for us, paying the price for our sins. Lord, that's a love that we cannot repay in any way, but we can just, you know, thank you for that and try and share that type of love with others. Lord, we just pray that having been together today, that we may be more loving to those whom we encounter later today and in the coming week by having been together today. Lord, we pray for those who are ill. We pray for those who are in mourning today. We I've had several in our extended church family who have lost loved ones in recent weeks. Today we pray for the Tolstoy family. Just pray that, you know, they may find solace through your spirit and comfort and peace during this difficult time. Lord, we pray for our nation as it goes through a time of preparing for an election, of selecting our new leader, our new president, but also, you know, the Supreme Court as Justice Scalia passed away, and or the wrangling that will be going on, whether the replacement and who will be able to choose that and when that will take place. And Lord, we just do pray for our nation today that it has its struggles. And it has, it seems to be a lot of negativity going on. Lord, we just pray that people can find ways to disagree, but to make decisions and work together for the better, for the best part of our nation. Lord, we lift all of these things up to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We've worshiped God in many different ways this morning. Now we have an opportunity to worship God by presenting our tithes and our gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. As you care for us, that we may share your love with others. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You may be seated, and I invite you to hold on to your hymnal because the scripture is responsive today. Dottie Ladd is not able to be here, but Dave is going to be leading us in that responsive scripture at 7:35 in the hymnal.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love,
I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal.
If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge,
and if I have a faith that can move mountains,
but have not love,
I am nothing.
If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love,
I gain nothing.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud.
It is not rude. It is not self-seeking.
It is not easily angered.
It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in the truth.
It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres.
Love never fails.
But where there are prophecies, they will cease.
Where there are tongues, they will be stilled.
Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
For we know in part, and we prophesize in part.
But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears.
When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child.
When I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me.
Now we see but poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face.
Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Thank you, Dave, and the congregation, as we shared in that reading. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these familiar words to many of us, Paul's instructions on love and what it means to be in relationship to one another, Lord, we pray that on this Valentine's Day that we may have a greater appreciation and understanding of these words, that words that we may have said or heard many, many times, but we pray that we may have a fresh understanding of them for having been here today and having worshiped together, that it may help us in our daily living. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may have heard the statement, there's an app for that. And we might say, well, of course there is, for if we were to name some type of function or activity, there is likely a smartphone or a tablet program called an application, or app for short, for that. On the slim chance that we thought of something for which there is no app, we just need to wait a few days or weeks, and a computer-savvy person will probably develop one. Some apps are better about productivity and help us be more efficient, while others are all about just wasting time. All of them, however, have become an ever-present part of our lives if we have a smartphone or a tablet. But of course, none of these apps are a one-and-done deal. If we use enough of them, we know that an app is only as useful as the next update from the developer. We're constantly being reminded to download that next update. And we're also told that the app will do better when it's installed. It may make it less buggy and therefore run better and more smoothly. Perhaps the update enhances the security features. Maybe the app has been remodeled with new graphics or given enhanced features. And sometimes, unless we update, the app will not no longer work. Even if that is not the case, if we use apps at some point, we must update. That's the way it works. It keeps us current. Whether we use the newer technology of smartphones or not, there is an update for our lives that every one of us needs. It's the type of love the Apostle Paul writes about in today's scripture. If we don't get it, have it, or use it, nothing else matters. Nothing else works. But while apps have made us better connected electronically, they haven't necessarily made us into better and more compassionate people. We might add a comment to a distant friend's Facebook post that offers sympathy for their illness. But while we're inputting that, our communication, our information, we ignore the distressed person that's sitting next to us on the bus or the train. We can Instagram a picture of our luscious dinner while walking past a hungry homeless person on the street. Somehow getting the update should lead us to getting a clue about our outside world. But for that, we might need to go to a different source. The Apostle Paul was dealing with an app problem in Corinth. An app here, we might say, is the application of Christianity to their lives. Even though they were first century Greco-Roman people, living with no cell towers in sight, the Corinthians were acting like a bunch of selfie-taking, narcissistic people instead of the Church of Jesus Christ. The list of problems in the church at Corinth, in fact, was like the ones that we face in the 21st century wireless world. We get a glimpse of some of the things as we read the previous 12 chapters of Paul's first letter, and I'm not going to read all that to you today. But just as a summary, the Corinthians were as divided as two sets of social media trolls, lobbing insults back and forth at one another. They were obsessed with celebrity teachers, always posting sound bites from their favorites. They seemed to have a relaxed view of sexual ethics rather than clearing sordid affairs from their history. They might have even used a legal app to draft lawsuits against one another, even within the church. They may have Snapchatted pictures of food sacrificed to idols to those who were trying to eat kosher. The wealthier members of the community might have Instagrammed pictures of the Lord's Supper, the feast that they were going to eat. It was more than just a little bit of bread and a little bit of a sip of juice. They had a whole meal, and they might have Instagrammed that to friends before the poor neighbors got there and missed out on all the food. The Corinthians were working all the angles, seeing their own reflections in the screen and missing out on the richness of real Christian community. So Paul sends the message that they need an update, one that will not only make their community run more smoothly and in a more Christ-like manner, but will also strengthen their spiritual security and make the church more user-friendly to outsiders. We could call this a love update, but this is a special type of love that needed to be updated. A word of explanation is needed before we look at the specs for this particular update. In the 21st century world, we use one word to describe some widely ranging understandings of the word love. We might say, I love this app, I love this book, I love whatever, in one moment, and we might turn around and say, I love my spouse. Do we have the same feelings for a book or a computer program as we do for our significant other? It's the same verb, but with two hopefully very different meanings. In the Greco-Roman world in general, and the Greek language in particular, there were several different word choices for the English word, love, that communicate its meaning more clearly in context. You may have heard some of these before. The word phileo is the kind of friendship love. Philadelphia, we know the city of brotherly love. It's the type of friendship love we might have with someone that, you know, we know through Facebook. The word storge is the kind of parental love that a mother or a father might send to us upon seeing one of our postings on social media. The word eros is the kind of romantic love we think about on Valentine's Day and a person might look for on Match.com. But Paul doesn't use any of those Greek words in this chapter. The word he chooses is the word agape, which is the kind of love that is less about typing our feelings into cute emojis, those cute little smiley faces, than it is about upgrading to real, intentional, sacrificial, unconditional, self-giving love. In this passage of scripture that's familiar to many people, often read at weddings, Paul lays out the details of this particular update and how it turns the attention from taking selfies to taking action on behalf of others. It turns our focus around. Paul has already noted in chapter 12 that the Corinthians are gifted. It's one of the at least three places we find in his letters that he talks about the gifts of the Spirit and what spiritual gifts people in the church had. But he concludes chapter 12 with these words, "Strive for the greatest gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." In other words, he's saying, you're gifted, but you need the one gift that makes it all work. Without it, your community will crash like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And he continues by saying, you might have a ton of apps that give you the mysteries of the universe right at your fingertips, but if you don't have that agape type of love, you're really just a person holding a box of silicon chips. And he continues, you might even decide to give everything away and make do with your old flip phone, but you don't gain anything if you don't have that agape type of love. In a community that embraces this type of love, however, that particular update changes everything. Instead of being at each other's throats, love makes the Corinthians patient with one another and takes away the aspect of jealousy and one-upmanship. It pulls people's heads from the mundane of their lives and gives way to the needs of others without resentment, without anger. This love update turns us away from the evil influences that can creep into our lives and instead turns us toward the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In short, this update is the one that enables the community of faith to bear, hope, and endure all things for each other and for Jesus Christ. Indeed, once this update is installed, it will never fail. Technology geeks know that when a new upgraded operating system is installed on a phone, a tablet, or a computer, the apps that the old system supported are often no longer useful. Paul says that once this type of love update becomes widely downloaded in the church, other apps, other programs that were once so popular are no longer so. He says the prophecy app, for example, pales in comparison to the agape love. The knowledge app. Imagine having all the knowledge of Wikipedia. That's not so necessary anymore if you have the love app. Even faith and hope are anemic in comparison to the power of the agape love app. In fact, those apps will always be incomplete without a full update of love. The self-obsessed way of the world makes people act like a bunch of spoiled kids, whereas the presence of this type of love leads the community to maturity, clarity, fulfillment for all. Faith and hope are great apps to have on hand at all times, but neither of them is as vital to the entire church operating system as love. So, as a tech-obsessed teenager might ask, how do we get this app? It's interesting that Paul framed the words that we read today responsively with two similar instructions. The end of chapter 12, Paul writes these words, strive for the greater gifts. And then he begins his follow-up to his instructions about love in the chapter 14 with these words. He pleads with the Corinthians to pursue this agape type of love. The reality of this type of love is that it is really more than an act of the will, than it is a fleeting feeling. It's the kind of love that has to be chosen daily. It has to be prayed about. It has to be studied and practiced and constantly used in order to be effective. It's an app that's designed to be shared freely with others. And when it is, it makes the whole community better reflect the presence of Christ. Most of the apps we have on our computers and phones update automatically. But that is not the case with agape love. We have to be quite intentional about it. The truth is that this love app is made available to us by the Holy Spirit. But it's totally on us to activate it. It doesn't run by itself. We have to activate it and we have to use it. And it takes some practice, however, and a clear sense that we have the ability to share this love because Christ has shared it with us first through his sacrificial death on our behalf. Another love app designer named John put it this way, we love because he first loved us. When we recognize how much we have been loved, it can increase our bandwidth for loving others, our capacity for loving others in the model of Jesus Christ. The Corinthians were in desperate need of this update. Paul, from afar, realized that they were going down the tubes. There was nothing left unless they changed themselves. And he gave them this model because they were wrangling with each other. They were at each other all the time. They weren't embracing each other. They were at each other. Paul's appeal to download this love app is no less important for us today when individuals and churches and denominations are in conflict with one another. You just have to watch the political debates. And yes, they're not a religious gathering. I understand that. But are they reflective of society today and how we respond to one another? I fear at times that we're going that way, that there's no love involved, even though they're opponents, and I understand that. But there are ways to be respectful of one another. We need this app within our churches, and we need to carry it out into society. In a world where there are many apps where people just gather below the surface, the church needs to be a group of people whose primary pursuit is love and expressing that in all the ways that we reach out to others. It's the best app ever. One that we can't download on our phones, but one that we can carry around with us in our hearts at all times. But we have to activate it ourselves, and we have to pray for the Spirit to update it in our lives every day. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have focused, using computer terms and technology terms today, looking at the agape type of love, the self-giving love, Lord, on this Valentine's Day, when red hearts and chocolates and jewelry tend to be, the forefront, and automobile sales have become the big thing of the holiday weekend, too, when it comes to be President's Day, we focus on these tangible things, Lord, but we just pray, Lord, that we may focus on the intangible things as well, the idea behind Valentine's Day, the idea of love for one another, being modeled from the love that you have given to us. Lord, help us each day, as when we wake up in the morning, to pray that we may have this type of love. The love of brothers and sisters, the love of parents, the love of a significant other. But this other type of love, this agape love, this self-giving, this sacrificial type of love, where we don't say me first, but you first. Where we look at how we can reach out to others and benefit them. Lord, we pray that your Spirit may fill us with that type of love and that we may make a difference in the world because of it. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning is The Gift of Love, which we'll be singing the words that we read earlier about what love is all about. That's number 495. Have begun. Go now into the world following the example of our Lord Jesus. May your lives reflect God's love and God's grace. May your lives reflect the life and teachings of Jesus. And may we continue on our Lenten journeys, ever growing closer to Jesus Christ and ever growing more perfect in God's love. Go now in God's peace. Amen.
Amen.